Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports. The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN, New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I'm your host, Rick Wolf. And, of course, each year on Super Bowl Sunday, I want to take a few moments and remind sports parents everywhere about the concerns and dangers of sports gambling, and especially when it comes to our kids. Now, before we begin, I just want to point out that and emphasize that I'm not in any way trying to pass judgment on gambling and wagering on sports. That's not the purpose of the show this morning. Simple, flat-out truth is that gambling is legal in something like 30 states in the nation, and that number continues to grow. In short, it is legal. And along those lines, I just want to, you know, acknowledge that for most people, gambling on sports is no big deal. In fact, it's seen as fun and exciting. And we all know that. But for a percentage of others, gambling can develop into a serious issue. It's an addiction that is recognized medically by the American Psychiatric Association as a disease that can truly ruin people's lives. And if you have kids, teenagers in particular, who are basically, you know, sports fans, even though they are supposed to be at least 21 years old in most states in order to wager on games, well, the sad truth is, we know that many young people find a way to place bets and wager on sports. So on this Sports Edge program, as we have done for many years on Super Bowl Sunday, we want to focus on the warning signs that all parents need to know if they suspect or think or have a hunch that perhaps their son or daughter is having a problem with gambling. Now, again, on this day, where, let's face it, billions of dollars are going to be bet on this one football game, I always ask Don from Gamblers Anonymous to come on the show to talk about how moms and dads can pick up on those signs that their kids might be gambling on sports. And I will, of course, throughout the course of the hour, I will give you the hotline for Gamblers Anonymous and their website, because obviously this is what we want to talk about today. This is a growing concern. But first, let me bring in Don. So I said, Don has been on the show many years in the past, talking on Super Bowl Sunday. Don, good morning. It's good to talk to you again.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you as always for your time and for your, you know, your dedication and devotion to educating parents about this issue. I mean, you really do provide a most valuable service to sports parents everywhere. And friends, as I just mentioned, let me start by giving out the hotline number for Gamblers Anonymous. It's 855-222-5542, or you can go to their website at gamblersanonymous.org. Now, Don, let's start this way. Can you provide a little background? I know how many years have you not gambled at this point?
I've been in Gamblers Anonymous for 43 years, and one of the questions I get very often is, why do you still go to meetings? And the point is, I said that You know, for the first 30 years of, you know, I came into GA when I was 30 years old.
Uh-huh.
And those years between 13 and 30 were not good years for me.
Well, let's talk about that because, I mean, obviously you've been involved in this for, as you said, close to almost half a century now with GA. But you started, you said, you know, when you were 15, between the ages of 15 and 30, you had some difficulties with this addiction. Can you share with our audience what happened, how you got involved, and when did you finally realize this was really getting out of control?
Well, you know, Gamblers Anonymous is problem gambling is a progressive illness.
Uh-huh.
And so when I was 13, 14, 15, you know, those early years, I had my friends, we used to go to the, you know, we would go to this, I grew up in Brooklyn, but me and my friends would be in the schoolyard, but then we started playing poker, you know, just for pennies,
and mm-hmm.
because that was the access of money. You know, gamblers always gamble to the access and to the excess of money that they have. And just the gambling just started progressing. As I got older, I learned about sports betting. And again, back then you couldn't bet legally.
Mm-hmm.
You did things illegally.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I started in college, I got a job, and so most people would use that money, you know, to fund themselves through college or to have some money. I was using that money to gamble and to pay off the bookmakers, and it just kept progressing, and it put me into places and with people that really, you know, created some many problems in my life. And finally, you know, I finally came into GA when I was almost 30 years old.
Now, again, this is going back, as I said, close to half a century. Even those days, I mean, gambling was known. It was illegal everywhere. And the fact is that, as you mentioned, back in those days, if you wanted to wager or gamble or poker, whatever it might have been, you know, you had to go through a bookie, you know, somebody who was not obviously accepted as a legal entity. But these days, of course, things have changed. Back, you know, a few years ago, the United States Supreme Court basically legalized gambling in this country. And all of a sudden, we've seen just a torrent of possibilities and places that people can go if they're 21 to wager on sporting events. But as I said at the start of the show, Don, this is what I really want to get into today. I don't know if our parents are aware of just how many teenagers in particular are now finding a way to gamble. I mean, according to the latest stats that I've seen from a variety of websites, something like 4 to 5% of kids ages 12 through 17, you know, meet one or more of the criteria for having a gambling problem. And of those kids, as close to as many as 10 to 15% are at serious risk for developing an addiction, which means they're showing signs already of losing control over their gambling activities. So we're talking about millions of teenagers here all over the country running into possible difficulties. And the other thing, the stat that struck me, which doesn't surprise me, but in general, between 60 to 80% of all high school students report having gambled for money during the past year. I mean, that's a lot of kids. And, you know, yeah, we know, and we'll talk about this as well too, Don, that boys are more likely than girls to gamble and to experience gambling issues. But the percentage of girls who gamble has risen significantly in recent years. And so for parents of teenagers, you know, often parents look upon gambling as just an innocuous behavior with a few negative consequences. But for those kids who find that they're developing an addiction, it can really spiral out of control. And again, as I mentioned a few seconds ago, gambling is recognized as an addiction illness by the American Psychiatric Association. So, Don, with that background, tell me when kids... their parents, what happens with the number of kids who come into GA and, you know, talk about an issue, or do they come with their parents? How does this whole thing sort of, you know, come together?
Well, I think parents think that, you know, if three people were walking down the street,
yeah,
and somebody had a drug problem, you'd see them stumbling.
Mm-hmm.
If saw somebody who, if the second person had a drinking problem, you would see him stumbling. If they were doing drugs, they would be stumbling. But a compulsive gambler just walks down the street and doesn't show those signs. So it's very difficult for people on the outside to kind of relate to it. And I think about one of the things is I think parents think, well, my kids, even if the kids are downstairs gambling and they're talking about fantasy sports or any of those things, it's so much better than drinking and drugs when we know that it has the same outcome of problems for these young people. And what we've seen is that for a lot of young people, they don't have the access to money. So what ends up happening is they steal their credit cards. A lot of them go away to college. They somehow spend the tuition is lost. Their grades plummet. And the thing that's most telling is that the kids start isolating because they have so much guilt about what's going on. And that's what the parents have to look for. Is there a change in the kids' behavior? Are there strange things going on with credit cards? And parents feel so guilty about what's going on. Like, what did I do wrong as a parent? That with the thing that they do is they pay off these gambling debts and they say, don't do it again. And you know, and I know, as soon as a parent says, you know, don't do it again, that that's not what's really going to work, that you really got to find a place to get some help for the child in these situations.
Yeah, I'm glad you went through the whole thing because, gambling addiction is known as the invisible addiction, as you just said. It's not like somebody who's stumbling because they have an alcohol issue or drug issue. If you're gambling, compulsive gambling is invisible, and it's not really obvious to outsiders. And the other complicating fact you just mentioned, which I think I'm glad you did, Don, is the fact that the parents, if they're aware that or become realize that their son or daughter has used the credit card, maybe the kid's away at college or whatever, and they say to the kid, no, you can't do this. You can't use the credit card. Stop doing this. This is not good. It's illegal. You're not 21, so on and so forth. But the parent feels conflicted because, for example, the parents might gamble themselves. And for the parents, they might feel they don't have an issue with a gambling addiction. It's under control. They gamble responsibly. But the kids may have a different situation. So the parent doesn't really know. They figure out they've talked about it with the kid. They've confronted them and said, stop doing this. But if the kid really has a developing an issue, the kid will find other ways to fund the wagering or, again, find ways to either steal money from their parents or do something else, which is just going to spiral, again, out of control. And I think that's what we're trying to alert parents about, that if, as I said, 60 to 80% of all high school students report having gambled for money during the last year, that is a significant number of kids. I'm not sure parents are aware of that.
Well, I think that, you know, one of the pieces is that that there's a progression. And I think what happens is there's the internet. And what happens is that kids start doing these, and we've seen statistics about this, the kids start doing the video games.
Yes.
And they get proficient at it. And they say, you know, I'm very good at this. And then it moves into the fantasy sports because the kids get more sophisticated as they get older. And then after they do well with the fantasy, then they start saying, well, and it doesn't matter whether they do well or not well. It just, it opens up the gates for their addiction. And then after that, they go into other, you know, betting on the sports. But the thing is that you can't make a legal bet until you're 21. So the kids, when they start doing it, a lot of them will start betting with bookmakers. And one of the things that you have to think about is that in order to bet on these sports sites, you need to put money into an account.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow these kids have to get money somewheres to get money to make these bets. It's not like where you do a credit card and then you pay it off after. Money has to be deposited in those things.
Correct.
So the kids either end up going to a bookmaker, or they're going to steal some money, or they're going to take some money for other things that, you know, money that they should be using for other things.
or even more than that, too, there are parents out there who will basically say, okay, here's what we'll do. If you want to wager and bet on sporting events, I'll allow that. I'll condone it. I'll give you the money to do it, but I want to be able to watch over what happens so that I'm keeping a close eye on your winnings and your losings. You know, I think parents feel that might be a way to sort of, keep a close way to monitor what goes on. But it also, in a way, it's also sort of giving the kid the opportunity to do this, and that's a concern as well. Don, let me take a break here. We're talking with Don from Gamblers Anonymous about the very complicated issue of sports parenting when it comes to their kids who want to gamble. After we take the commercial break, we'll open the phone lines up here at 877-337-6666. I'm eager to get their thoughts and comments as well. And again, I do want to remind people that if you do want to reach Gamblers Anonymous, you can reach them. Their hotline is 855-222-5542, or you can just go to their website at gamblersanonymous.org. Let me take a time out. When I return, we'll continue talking with Don, and we'll take your calls as well. Stay with me. We're talking this morning, as we do every Super Bowl Sunday, we're talking about problem gambling, particularly as it affects kids, teenagers, and what moms and dads need to know about this issue. I mean, as I said at the beginning, this is not about trying to pass judgment regarding gambling. Gambling is legal. It's legal in most states in this country. You got to be 21. But we're concerned when it comes to kids and teenagers who obviously are just beginning to get involved in this activity. And there are some kids, as there are with adults, who unfortunately have this invisible addiction to gambling, and they need help before their lives get out of control. And we're trying to educate moms and dads as to what they should be looking for in terms of the warning signs. And we're talking with Don from Gamblers Anonymous, and the number for GA is 855-222-5542. Website is gamblersanonymous.org. And we're going to take your calls as well at 877-337-6666. Don, before we start taking calls, you know, one thing that you mentioned a few minutes ago about the fact that the internet has become such a huge player in all this, I just want to remind moms and dads, because the fact of the matter is, in most cases, our children are a lot more sophisticated when it comes to using the internet or their apps on their cell phones than many adults are. So just don't assume anything that you figure the kids know what they're doing or doing the right thing, because they might be working around you because they know you aren't that clued in as to what goes on with cell phones and apps and the internet. And that's a real concern, Don. I think moms and dads have to be aware of that. Okay, let's get to some of our calls here. Let's go to Ralph in Manhattan. Ralph, good morning. You're on the fan.
Rick, Don, good morning. You will see ad after ad promoting gambling as some sort of a panacea that someone will immediately get wealthy. That was, in a very quick way, there's no losing, there's no disappointment, there's just something to be gained by doing it. Then directly after that, you'll see an ad that will promote Gamblers Anonymous. So you have a contradiction in terms there that kind of, it really sends a mixed message, and no one gets the point that this is a dangerous activity if you have the propensity to for addiction. I really think this is what occurs.
Well, there's no question, and of course that is true. But again, the whole focus of this is if you are of age, if you are 21, and presumably you're mature and an adult and can make rational decisions. When people say, okay, this is an opportunity for you to place a wager, to bet and have fun, enjoy the activity. But the end of the ad is always a spot about, well, make sure if you have a problem, call here or call that for help. And I think that's all well intended. But again, you always hope and pray that people actually listen to that, understand this is serious stuff, because some people, not everybody, but a certain percentage of the population is going to have a problem with stopping on gambling, and that's why we do this show. Don, tell me what's your reaction? I know Gamblers Anonymous does not pass judgment; they're there to help people. And as to Ralph's point, this is a real concern.
Well, again, we take no position against gambling. All we care about is helping the parents and the young people who have a problem. Super Bowl Sunday is the ultimate high for problem gamblers. I think I saw a statistic where $7.6 billion is going to be wagered.
Yeah.
But one of the things is that, you know, with the more propensity and more sites that are open for the gambling, we show the statistics show that we're getting a lot more calls from parents and young people. And we also get calls from parents and females. And what happens with females is that they might not be betting sports, but they go to lotteries. They go to, you know, other forms where it's more comfortable. A female, in the old days, would not go to a racetrack. It just wasn't a comfortable place. But with the casinos, it's really a more comfortable place. So I want parents to understand that it's not just males that we're looking at. We're getting a lot more calls from females. The meetings that we have, more and more women are coming into it. So
that's an excellent. That's an excellent observation. And Ralph, thank you for the call this morning. And I'm glad you brought that up, Don, because we've been talking obviously about wagering on let's say the NFL, the football games. But as you said, the rise of women and girls who are getting involved in gambling may not have to do with sporting events. Maybe they're having a problem going to casinos and wagering there, or other forms, other activities that may not be sports related. But for that individual, they realize they're getting in over their head in terms of mounting bills and owing people money. That's significant as well. And again, I think moms and dads figure, well, it's just as really a guy thing, not for women, but it's not true. Let's move on. Let's go to Ron over in New Jersey. Good morning, Ron. You're on WFAN.
Good morning, Don. How are you? I've been gambling since I've been 10 years old. I gambled till I was 40.
Yep.
I had a great job on Wall Street. I went to prison. I'm 65 years old. I haven't gambled in 23 years. I went to GA. My son is 31. And when he was in high school, I told him, I said, hey, you're going to get a lot of pressures from people who gamble. I said, you saw what gambling did to me and to you. Because when I went to prison, he was 7 years old. I said, I can't tell you not to gamble because you can get a lot of pressure. But look what gambling can do to you. He goes to a casino maybe twice a year with, he's married now with other couples and things like that. He calls me up, tells me, hey, Dad, I'm going to the casino. He'll blow what he can afford, a couple, and he'll walk away. And he knows because he saw the devastation that gambling can do. Yeah. And like the previous caller, the women who gamble are not so much betting on, because we see them come into the rooms a lot, they're not betting on sports per se. They're doing scratch-offs, lotteries, and casinos. And after the Super Bowl, you'd be surprised this week how many more people are going to come in because they're going to get devastated by losing in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I unfortunately, I hear you loud and clear on this, Ron, and thank you for your call. Thank you for sharing your own difficult story and how it affected you and obviously your son. And you know, I got to tell you, Don, let me ask you this. Is that correct? Do you find that there's a real major uptick after the Super Bowl, or does it happen before Super Bowl? When do you guys see a rise in people reaching out for help at GA?
Well, I think that, you know, Super Bowl Sunday is the ultimate high for a problem gambler.
Yep.
You know, the internet to a gambler is like crack to an addict.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday, everybody's around this. You know, there's always family parties. Everybody really promotes this. The promotion is enormous. And obviously, if there's there's $7.6 billion being wagered legally, that amount of money is most probably wagered illegally because you need the money in order to bet legally. But illegally, you know, you pay off, you're supposed to, in theory, at the end of the week, pay off the bookmaker.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the problems come into. So we do see a market increase. I saw a statistic where one of the councils who were the outreach that, you know, and what happened was, I think a couple of years ago, it showed like they had 3,000 calls. And the last set of statistics, they showed 27,000 calls coming into the council, you know, of seeking help for problem gambling. So I think that, you know, the more money that's wagered, the more venues that are available, we find, and we've had many more people coming into the program over the last couple of years. And they all talk about the same thing. You know, I went on the internet, and I mean, the internet, it's not even having a laptop or a computer. You do it on your phone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, it's so accessible.
I just also want to, because a lot of the support that comes on the on advertising and talks about the fact that the theme here is gamble responsibly. But that term doesn't really hold, unless I'm mistaken, for somebody who's addicted or is developing an addiction to gambling. The idea of gambling responsibly, Don, that doesn't really make sense, because obviously they keep funneling more and more wagers. They keep gambling. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And
go on.
No, so I think that the more sites that are available and the more venues that are available, we show it just a market increase in the gambling and people getting in trouble. That's all.
Yeah. And again, friends, we're talking with Don from Gamblers Anonymous. The hotline for GA, you can call anytime, 855-222-5542. Website is gamblersanonymous.org. I just want to remind, again, we've thrown a lot of stats out this morning to people. From what I gather, according to the American Psychiatric Association and other websites, the number of people who do develop an addiction to gambling is something like anywhere, the best estimates are like 5 to 6% of the American population, which is significant because that's millions and millions of people. And obviously, we're talking in particular today about kids. They don't, since they're new at this, they may not know, have an understanding as to just how, what a dangerous pathway they're going down if they are and find themselves, you know, wagering. And I understand most of the psychologists will tell you that kids gamble because it's more of a social activity, something that their friends are doing. It's kind of fun, it's exciting, it's intriguing, but for a small percentage of those kids, they're going to find themselves in a situation where they just can't stop. They just feel compelled, and as Don has shared with us, it becomes a real issue. It's as simple as that. All right, friends, we're going to take more of your calls here at 877-337-6666. I'd like to hear more stories from other parents of what they've gone through with their kids. I also, when we come back, I want to talk about what happened very briefly at Pearl River High School in Rockland County. This is a very, very disturbing situation. Okay, 877-337-6666. Just a quick reminder, friends, that you can always find all your resources regarding sports parenting at AskCoachWolf.com. You can follow me on Twitter at AskCoachWolf as well. Also, here is some big news regarding the show. Next week, the Sports Edge returns to an 8 o'clock start next Sunday. That's right. We will go next Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. Looking forward to enjoying the extra hour of sleep next Sunday morning. I hope you will as well. But again, next Sunday, Sports Edge goes from a 7 a.m. start to back to an 8 a.m. start. Now, before we return to our conversation with Don of Gamblers Anonymous, I do want to acknowledge this ugly racist incident which took place last week at Pearl River High School in Rockland County. Pearl River was hosting Nyack High School in a boys' varsity basketball game. And according to numerous witnesses, on three separate occasions during the game, when a black Nyack player came to the foul line to shoot a free throw, a number of Pearl River fans made loud monkey and ape noises. Now, as you might imagine, this was absolutely shocking and just totally unacceptable. But what was even more astonishing was that not one adult at the game did anything about it. They just apparently ignored this disgraceful noise, and they just looked on. Remind you, this didn't happen once. It happened three times during the course of the game. And when I mean adult, that would include the parents in the stands, any administrator or educator from Pearl River High School, any of the coaches at the game, any of the referees who are working the game. These were all adults. Either they just thought this was no big deal, or that it was up to some other adult to speak up and say something. Regardless of their rationale, they just tacitly allowed this to take place. Now, of course, this would have been the perfect time to have immediately stopped the game, toss the offenders out, and make sure that this kind of behavior is just not tolerated. But again, no one did that. Even worse, apparently, according to various reports, this same kind of racist behavior happened a couple of weeks earlier when Pearl River played Suffern High School. Now look, friends, we always talk about teachable moments on the show, and that teenagers in particular often do dumb and stupid things. We know that. But especially since we're in the middle of Black History Month, this moment at a Pearl River High School basketball game, that would have been the perfect time to have enforced and drilled home that teachable lesson. But inexplicably and sadly, no one did that. It's just unbelievable. And I'll be curious to see what kind of discipline is handed out at Pearl River. And quite frankly, yeah, there'll be a bunch of kids who will be disciplined, but honestly, it should include the adults who were at the game as well for not doing anything. All right. Point made. Moving on. Let's get back to our conversation with Don from Gamblers Anonymous. And again, Don, you've been talking this morning about the numbers, legal betting today in the game is going to be over $7.6 billion. That stat comes from the American Gaming Association. But I do want to point out, at the NFL, what Americans should really keep in mind is that, according to the New York Times, that over in England, United Kingdom, and over in Europe, where legal sports betting has been around for several years, there have been serious gambling addiction over there. That's risen quite a bit. And again, as I said, if you go to the NFL's own website, responsibleplay.org, they estimate that more than 5 million people have a serious gambling issue each year. 5 million Americans. I mean, that's a concern. And I want to make sure that, you know, I remind you of the number. It's 855-222-5542, or go to gamblersanonymous.org. And let's go to some more calls here, as I promised. Let's go over to Jack Smithlin over in Fairlawn. Jack, good morning. You're talking with Don from Gamblers Anonymous and with me. How are you doing today, Jack?
I'm doing really well. Before we get started, I just want to say that your screener Ed Arzuman is like one of the greatest people. Never let him go. he's a super guy.
Ed is terrific, and I'm always amazed and impressed. He gets up probably in the middle of the night to go down to the studio and to make sure the show gets on the air. So kudos to Ed. He's terrific.
Yeah, God bless Ed. The NIAC thing, all I'm going to say is one thing. What is wrong with parents? What is wrong with adults today? I mean, you just don't understand it. You know, kids are, like you said before, they're not rational. You know, and that's something I'm going to speak about with the gambling part of it. But, you know, how could parents sit there and allow this to happen? How could coaches and, like you said, referees allow this to happen? What are they, deaf? They turned a deaf ear to this. It's amazing, but you can't let it happen.
No.
Getting to the gambling. You know, I've been around coaching and teaching for a long time, as most of your callers know, because you know, I love the show. I taught for 44 years, so I've been around that environment. I've been around that age group, and I've been coaching, and I've witnessed it. I've seen it many, many times. And one of the things that you said before about rationale, you know, being rational, is 150% correct. You know, kids are not rational. They don't think before they act. They get themselves into trouble because, you know, kids at the ages of 13 to 17, and this is a statistic that I remember from my health classes, Kids that become addicted to drugs, alcohol, and even gambling between the ages of 13 and 17, it lasts a long, long time with them. It doesn't go away.
Right.
But people that become gamblers later on in life, when they are developed, their brain, their prefrontal lobe is developed, and they are rational about their thinking, they're the ones who can get themselves out of trouble. All right? And understand when they're in trouble. Kids don't. Kids don't. Parents, you have to wake up to this. You have to understand that, like Rick and Don were talking about, there's so many different avenues to gambling today. And kids will take those avenues. They'll use them. And it'll usually start with a friendly bet with friends, and then all of a sudden they get into the fantasy, and all of a sudden they're now dealing with bookies because they're underage. And if they're not, and if they are underage and they get onto these sites, they had to steal money, like you said, or lie about their age to get on. And it becomes a very, very deep problem. And people, please do yourself a favor. The people who are listening right now, take this to heart. And the people that aren't, you know what? I can't say it, but I have friends that I'm going to call and make sure that they listen to this podcast this afternoon. It's a great show. I personally think it should be on earlier than Super Bowl Sunday. I mentioned that because, you know what? You want to give the parents the warnings, not on the day. It's already too late for this Super Bowl because half of those kids have already put all their monies down on this game. So it's a sad thing, too, when you see a kid get into trouble. I had a student at the school that I taught at for over 30 years. He got himself into serious, serious trouble to the point where he was expelled from college. Mm-hmm. So, you know what, people? Open up your eyes. Understand. Listen, there's only one way to not get in trouble with gambling. Don't gamble. That's all.
Yep.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Jack. Good thoughts. You know, Don, as Jack was saying, that, there's a lot of medical evidence that, you know, kids, they're in their teenage years, their brain, their controls over impulses and stuff still developing. That it's not, it isn't until they get to be in their early 20s when they really have, in fact, matured, that they begin to get a better sense of what goes on in terms of trying to curb compulsions and addictions. And it, as you said in your own life, it was around the age of 13 or 15 that you got involved in this. I think that's the lesson we want parents to understand, if nothing else from the show today. Understand that your kids, gambling seems like it's fun, it's exciting. They, of course, hear all the advertising that's out there and see all the ads about, you know, this is fun and exciting to gamble. But they may not hear the fact that you got to be 21, or they may feel that everybody, all my friends are doing it, so what's the downside? Or the parents don't really, you know, say, look, let's sit down and talk about wagering and gambling and what it really means to do this responsibly. When a kid goes, or a kid calls GA, or the parents call GA, can you sort of walk us through what happens that process?
Well, we try to talk to the young person or to the parent. There's also another organization that we're aligned with called Gammonon.
Mm-hmm.
And Gammonon is for those people, whether it be the wives, the parents, or family members, who see that there's a problem with gambling and they call us. We also send the parents to Gammonon, and Gammonon is people who were involved with gambling, and they're the parents, they're the wives, and we kind of tell them, and they go to these meetings, and they understand now from other people who have gone through the same experience, and there's nothing better than hearing from people who have gone through the same experience, and they get help there also. Mm-hmm. So we can also send the, just understand that the parents have another venue, and for the gambler, obviously it's Gamblers Anonymous, and they get a call. We receive the calls. We have a hotline, the 855 number, and we get the call. We speak to the person, and we send them to the closest meeting and get them there as soon as possible. Obviously, with COVID and the limitations that we have, we have many more Zoom meetings, and we are still available to help people. And
Do you find there's an uptick with you find that the teenagers that are calling you, or is it their parents that call first?
Both. You know, it's males, it's females, it's parents, and there's been a tremendous uptick. We have many, many more meetings. We have many more members over the last couple of years. And again, it's a progression. I mean, when GA started in 1957, there was one meeting. Now there's thousands of meetings throughout the world.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just like Jack talked about in England, I mean, we have meetings all over the world.
Yeah, no, it's no question about it. It is obviously a huge concern, as simple as that. You know, let's see if we can get some more calls here. 877-337-6666. Let's go to Bill. Bill, good morning. You're on the fan.
Hi, Rick. Great show as always. I just wanted to piggyback on what Jack said earlier with the Pearl River Nyack incident. I wasn't there, but, you know, the parents in the stands should step up, but sometimes they're uncomfortable because it's their kids' peers or whatever. But I think that one of the things is security mm-hmm. and the administration, the AD, whatever. I'm not blaming anybody because it happens. I saw a game last week. I'm not going to say where, high school game, where bottles were thrown on the court. There just needs to be an accountability and a responsibility for the people that are in the stands to just accept it, that it's an athletic event. It is not war, and it is not my kid is going to conquer the world, and if he doesn't or she doesn't, it's just, you know, it's the responsibility belongs to many, the parents, the students, and the security folks that really need to have a presence in the stand to make sure that people behave and enjoy the event, because it's all about the kids, really.
Well, there's no question, Bill, and I hear you, but I do think there's a distinct difference when, you know, at a game which is hotly contested, and we do know there's a long history of parents who lose their cool, and they will shout things at perhaps the referees, the officials, or the coaches, whatever. It's one thing where there's just an emotional outburst of stupid comments, but this, where it not only happens once but three times during the course of a game, and apparently, as I said, it happened in an earlier game. Yeah, either somebody there, security, I mean, that's their job. Yeah, part of their job is to make sure no fan runs out onto the court and causes a melee. But well, part of their job is also to make sure that people don't say and yell out stupid stuff. And that's where you can say, well, maybe the parents in the stands figured that's not my job. That's why they have security here. Or maybe there's teachers who are assigned to the game as chaperones to monitor what goes on. But whoever it was, some adult has to speak up and say, we can't allow this. And it could have been the coaches, either one of the coaches from either Nyack or from Pearl River could have stopped the game, gone to the official and say, we're not going to continue to play this because this is just outrageous, poor sportsmanship. It's beyond poor sportsmanship. It's just flat-out racism. I mean, there are a lot of people who could have stopped this right then and there and said, this is not going to continue. They could have stopped the game, pointed out the people who are making the noises, whether it's just kids or whoever, and gone from there. But to allow it to go on is just it's just flat out wrong. And I think that's what people are so concerned about, that in this day and age, how could this happen? How could this happen, among in a school district where they should know better? Simple as that. And I think that's what's so outrageous. But, Bill, I hear you, and you can tell from my tone of voice to this, I just think this is outrageous. And I am curious to see what happens in terms of discipline or punishment or whatever happens from this point on. But I do hope it is serious and takes people, makes them think twice about this kind of stuff ever again. Bill, thank you for the call. Don, I want to get back to you very quickly before we run out of time. One of the things that always struck me, we've talked about this in years past, is that one of the things that worries me about gambling in sports, particularly with kids who are athletes as they go through high school and maybe into college, is there's a long history in this country of point shaving. Going back to the early 1950s with CCNY and Long Island University, and then over the years, point shaving scandals at Boston College, Arizona State, Northwestern, Tulane, and many, many other top colleges. These are players in college who basically, you know, either were naive or didn't understand that being approached by lowlifes who say, look, you can make some money here. If you just don't win by 10 points, if you just win by 6, you'll pay a lot of money. And I do worry that I don't know if kids today are being educated about the concerns with point shaving. And I worry that maybe we're going to have another situation like this happen not too in the far off future. Do you get any of that concerns at all? Or do you see that as a concern as well?
Yeah, I think that's going to be something. And it's always, you know, we've seen, you know, over the years with Pete Rose and, I think you're talking about Art Schliester, the quarterback.
Right.
So, and now it's going to be easy for these young athletes to go in and make a bet, you know, take some money and, you know, change the course of an outcome of a game. It might have been more difficult for, you know, them to make that bet. So that's certainly there. But, you know, going back to the other thing is I think it's important that any parents who thinks there might have a problem, let them call Gamblers Anonymous. All it is one call. And the same thing, you know, you're talking about the high schools. We have a speaking program for high schools. And any administrator who thinks that there might be a problem, we're available to help them. And again, it goes back to all these things that there are avenues, whether it be GAA, Gammonon. We can help anybody who's got a problem, at least give them some guidance and then let the parents make a decision of what they want to do with it.
Yeah, and just to recap this again, Don, again, I can't thank you enough, as you do every year, to come on the show and talk about this critically important issue, because it really does have the potential to tear apart families in so many horrible ways. And, you know, parents are conflicted because on one hand, they're obviously want the best for their child, but they also know that they have to make sure that that they talk to their youngsters, try to get them help, make it clear to them that this is not something they're passing judgment on, but trying to say, look, this some people have developed an addiction or inclined to be have addicted to gambling. And, you know, if it's not sort of confronted when they're still in their teenage years, it can really spiral out of control, particularly when the kid, you know, goes off to college. Again, parents, it's traditionally known as mostly for young males, but clearly, as we heard from Don this morning, a lot of young girls are doing this as well, not necessarily betting on sporting events, but in other parts, whether it's scratch-offs or lotteries or going to casinos. Again, reminder, parents, the kids have to be 21. You got to keep an eye on them as best you can because, as Don has pointed out, they're very adept with obviously their cell phones and the apps. This is a real concern, and we've heard even the NFL says on their own website that you know this affects anywhere from 1 to 3% of the American population. That's probably conservative. That's still over 5 million people. That's a lot of people, and we want to make sure if it's your son or daughter, you're basically doing the right thing by them to preserve their life in a very positive way. Don, thank you, as always, for your help. I very much appreciate it. Again, we'll look forward to talking to you again next year.
Thank you. And again, you know, the hotline is 855-222-5542. And you know, we appreciate your help.
Thank you, Don. Again, the website is gamblersanonymous.org. Okay, that's it for me in this edition of the Sports Edge. My thanks to Ed, of course, Ed Arzuman. We'll see you next Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, right here on The Fan.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.